Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zemke.
Morena Kirsten, how are you?
I'm all right. I got my morning voice, I think, still.
We all do a little bit. Hey, it's Friday. We're allowed to. How is it going?
You're dropping out a bit.
Dropping out a little bit? Well, I'm just going to start playing the first track then, and that'll get us really into something. What are we talking about this morning, Kirsten?
Well, it's not just two instruments, drum and bass, but when you put it together as drum and bass, it's a music genre.
A whole genre.
Fantastic drum genre, Kirsten. It's a fantastic
genre. Oh, yeah. So Tessa's going to have to help us out with this one.
She's Tess is our resident icon. Expert.
Yeah.
To be honest, though, I don't actually know a lot about its like history or how it came about.
Okay, so it's a 90s British. And you can hear the particular drum pattern.
Yeah.
That's what...
So that... I mean, I don't even know how to explain it without making myself sound like an idiot and trying to recreate the sound of this drum with my voice. But it is such an iconic sounding drum kick, basically. How did it come about, Kirsten? How did it sort of get started?
So there was a big rave scene. So, I mean, to go back really quickly through the genealogy, in the mid-80s, you got techno and house, which started sort of underground in the States. And then when it leapt over to Europe, late 80s, early 90s, you got the rave scene. And it's where people started really playing with electronic musics. So drum and bass was really appealed to sort of some of the sort of mixed communities of, you know, Afro-Caribbean, Africans, white British. So it's got a bit of influence from raga and reggae as well. Mm-hmm. And who we're listening to now, Goldie, he was literally a breakdancer and graffiti artist. So, you know, he came straight from the hip-hop community. So it's sort of like Britain's, I guess, underground sort of neighborhood Britain's response to mm-hmm. everything that was sort of coming in. One of the big places was Bristol.
Okay.
Which I would have expected,
to be honest.
So they had a real prominent Caribbean community, you know, a lot of hip-hop, punk, and ska. And apparently it did develop in the black clubs who were, you know, felt isolated from mm-hmm. racism from some of the other clubs, sort of black spaces. But by the mid-90s, when this track came out, is when it was becoming... you know, it started coming into the mainstream and people were actually like having hits, mm-hmm. you know, with it.
Because this is like truly an iconic track, if there ever was. You'd be hard pressed probably to find few people who have at least heard this song a couple of times. It's also one of those
and
songs.
And so you can
I think,
hear the sort of atmospheric,
yeah,
you know, pads and samples, and it's sort of, there's vocals, but they're sort of, you know, sidelined. They're sort of mm-hmm. almost more like an instrument, just adding, you know, rather than being a really vocal-based music, you know.
And I guess that's quite different to a lot of other music being made in the 90s. If you think about, I guess, pop music equivalents and stuff.
Absolutely, you know, and even different than sort of, you know, grunge that was happening or, you know, this sort of rap music that was happening.
This, I mean, I don't know if it's just because it's Goldie, but this does sound so completely the UK in my mind. But obviously,
yes.
It must have jumped the ditch at some
this
point.
Is an interesting take on it. Someone's texted in saying drum and bass beat is basically a hip hop beat double time.
Ah.
Yes, it's something called the Amen Break for you nerds out there.
Yeah, we love that.
I know. I used to have people tell me that drum and bass was polyrhythms, and I'm like, no, it's not. You know, you've still got that beat.
So, when did it kind of jump the ditch? When did we start hearing this in other parts of the world?
I'm losing sound here a bit.
When did we start to lose this in, when did we start to hear this in other parts of the world, Kirsten?
It was, you know, towards, I'm it's now global. So it had its sort of wax and wane in the 90s, where it became sort of out of the underground and became like a pop music.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the 2000s, it started to, you know, like it sort of revived itself. And so maybe it has lost some of its connection to sort of urban Britain. But yeah, you're right. You can really hear like the rainy streets, you know, rainy, shiny streets. This isn't a California music, you know?
Yeah, it's not
even a New York music. It's got Bristol in it.
This one, in similar vein, is Bad Company UK. This track is the 9. What's the timestamp for this? When are we... What time period are we talking
this
here?
This is 94. 98.
Somebody
says...
I've got
to say, folks, I'm not seeing any hate for the segment, though, which is fantastic news.
Yeah, it's pure love for drum and bass up here this morning. Someone says, surely it relates to trip hop, also big at the time and from Bristol. Is that a fair call, Kirsten?
Yeah, now here's what was happening. And it was just all these little nests of people playing with this electronic music that was not going to be rave and acid house.
Mm-hmm.
And so, a trip hop has more of a soul influence, mm-hmm. whereas this would be more hip hop, which is weird because one sounds like, and it's about the clubs, and they each had their different, you know, what you wear and which drugs you do and which clubs you go to. This was considered harder and darker. And yeah. I think this is the one where you wore the baggy jeans with the loops, and then you had the chain coming from one loop to another loop. Is that right, Tess? Is that what you wear?
Can you confirm, Tess?
I cannot confirm. I'm not sure that's the kind of thing that we should be revealing at 20 past 8 in the morning, you know? People are trying to have breakfast.
They don't know about your baggy jeans.
So it has become an umbrella sort of music because it's had a lot of offshoots.
Yeah.
You know, different versions, intelligent dance music.
Real bassy.
So, yeah, I think, yeah, you have to be in a certain headspace to this.
This, as you were saying, though, this is quite dark. This is quite dark drum and bass, these two tracks that we've just been listening to. But I guess in the last, maybe...
But so good.
Yeah, so good, truly. But, like, in the last 15 years, maybe, it's been kind of adopted by the mainstream quite a lot. Like, a lot of mainstream pop music has, like, borrowed from drum and bass and turned it into, like, club hits.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, popular club hits.
Yeah, so I think that this darkness is sort of in the original sort of style, and there's some people that try to keep to that. But yeah, it's definitely been mainstreamed in things like sports and ads and games. Because I think it is so evocative.
Yeah, games is a big one,
you know,
isn't it? Visually.
Yeah. But so I think, you know, it does paint this picture so well. So if you pop it onto something. But it is weird to be intense and fast as well as dark, you know, people, you know, associate dark with slow. So this has got this sort of really neat sort of energy.
Bassy as. So this is the 9 by Bad Company UK. We're going to sneak over to a bit of Square Pusher now.
Hey, Kirsten, someone's texted in asking about the relationship with Jungle, which it ties quite closely into, doesn't it?
Yes. So Jungle came first, and this was just a more hip-hoppy, techno-y version of it.
Oh, I didn't know Jungle came first. When did... Oh,
yeah.
Okay, interesting. I guess Jungle's for another segment, but that's interesting.
Well, because then there was a two-step, which was the more soul-y version.
Right. Mm.
But it just shows that during the 90s, there was so much play with these musics in various locations. And then by the time it gets out to, like, Aotearoa or the States, you know, we've already missed all the negotiation that went on. I've got a funny thing here that literally describes how you're supposed to dance to this.
Okay.
You all like to get your exercise. Quick step-like movements whereby the dancer hops between their heels and toes in a rapid motion from leg to leg.
That sounds like something to practice.
It sounds about right, though. If you go to a drum and bass gig and you see people, that is what they look like, literally, every single person.
Oh, see? Or you can rock forwards and back on your heels and toes with one of your legs in front.
Amazing. So this track we're listening to is Come On My Selector by Square Pusher. What's Square Pusher's kind of involvement with the drum and bass scene? Because I guess he's kind of a bit fringy as well. He sort of starts moving into different genres.
Yeah, and I guess because he's one guy, you know, he's more, you know, whereas the other band we played before was four guys that came together for that project. But even having the word selector, which is the sort of the name for the DJ for sort of reggae music, so it acknowledges that sort of connection to sort of Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it doesn't sound anything like reggae. I know you're like, what?
It's all about the genealogy, though.
What about its relationship with dubstep, Kirsten? Does it tie into that?
So we will do dubstep sometime. Or have we done it? I think we did it.
I think we did it, yeah.
We have it all written down. It's about 10 years before dubstep.
Oh, interesting.
Somebody said that in New Zealand, the scene is more liquid drum and bass. So what's liquid drum and bass, Tess/Kirsten?
Yeah, Tess. Look, mate, there's... Everybody...
So many.
I think liquid tends to be the more like you'll have... quite often have vocals over top and like quite slower, more like I would almost say it's driving music or kind of shapeshifter-esque.
Okay, yep.
Shapeshifter.
I mean you can't go past shapeshifter for a bit of New Zealand drum and bass.
New Zealand did really have in the 2000s have a really big drum and bass scene with a lot of musicians playing with it. And, you know, it's just a community that loves to discuss, you know, is it liquid? Is it intelligent? Is it dark? Is it a step? Is it drum step? Is it tech step?
Just a weird little bit of vocal at the end of that one there. That was Square Pusher with Come On My Selector. Before that, we listened to Bad Company UK, The Nine, and started off with Goldie, an absolute gold standard, pardon the pun, drum and bass track in A City Life.
Yeah, so you could hear the particular drums, a lot of bass, weird samples, and that really frenetic beat going on.
Yeah.
And it's got a very iconic sound that you can probably then recognize when you hear it.
It certainly does. Hey, thank you so much for bringing us that this week.
Sometimes it gets a bad rep, and I just want to say, you know, there's nothing wrong with liking a bit of drum and bass.
Hard out. Nothing wrong with liking a bit of drum and bass. Thank you for bringing us that this week, Kirsten. What are you going to be bringing next week?
Oh, we're going to go back in time and do Skiffle.
Ooh, Skiffle. Very exciting. Hey, have a lovely weekend. I hope you practice your...
Ask your grandparents about Skiffle.
I hope you practice your drum and bass dancing this weekend, Kirsten.
Yes, everybody can do that at home to keep exercise.
To keep fit. Thank you.
That was Travel Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zimpke.